once a year, Kelly and I each get the opportunity to go up to Mount Sequoia to the Music on the Mountain and do a solo performance. And I very rarely get to perform solo without Annette, without Kelly. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to call this my kitchen table, and I'm going to actually set up a little table and chair, kind of like, because a lot of my songs are birthed at my kitchen table. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to reenact that for comfort, kind of like comfort food. And I'm going to have my little words there, and I'm going to sing songs about my life, my childhood, my grandparents, and songs that were birthed around my kitchen table.
When you're sitting at your kitchen table and these songs are being created, do you have pen in hand? Guitar in hand?
I have guitar in hand or mandolin in hand. I don't usually play my fiddle much because it's not a very chordal instrument. I usually write on the guitar or the mandolin, and I'll have a piece of paper handy for thoughts that come through, but usually they just – and words and music, they kind of all come at the same time. And a lot of these songs are going to be songs that have never been performed. They're not Still in the Hill songs. So it's fun. They're kind of, I think of them like my orphan children. And they're in my books, and they kind of always knock on the cover of the book saying, "Play me, play me." You know, and once they're once I get them out and get them heard once, then they don't knock on the book so much anymore.
You're prolific. Everyone who I know who writes, they say, you know, Donna just writes all the time. Is that true?
It is true. I love it. I didn't really start writing songs till I met Kelly when I turned 40-ish. And he opened me up to the world of songwriting. And it was really like being born again as a musician. And as it just kind of like a floodgate opened. And I just love it so much. I found my passion. And so I think of songwriting kind of like when people try to learn a skill like playing a guitar or being an artist, you know, they have to have sketchbooks or you got to work on your scales or something. And so I like to just go to the empty page a lot and just see what comes out because I think of it as my exercises too.
So if you write a song and then you don't perform it live, but you've got the song, do you practice it from time to time? Do you sing it for yourself? Do you sing it for Kelly?
Kelly's sometimes the only one who hears these songs, or my neighbor Nan. I have a few friends sometimes that I will try them out on. My son, Taylor, he often gets to hear them. Sometimes I'll go back and pull out the books and revisit so I can try to see if I remember them. Some do fall through the cracks.
I was going to ask if you have a problem remembering the song. If you're going to do a couple dozen songs and most of them you've never performed.
I will have a little music stand and the words, which is always challenging. You know, Kelly and I, when we do a concert, you know, the songs are polished and they're, mm-hmm. and we have them memorized, and that's the way we do it. And so it's kind of like, it's an extra challenge for me to be as raw as this and to play my own guitar. Usually what I do is I write the song and then I hand the guitar over to Kelly and I play fiddle and let him mm-hmm. do the guitar playing. So it's a really kind of challenge for me to actually have to have the words there to be read and to play in that kind of a raw state. But it's really good for me, too. I think it's really good for all of us to kind of push our boundaries and challenge ourselves in places that are scary. Mm-hmm. I think I grow whenever I do something like that.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited. I'm nervous, but I'm very excited. And because some of these my children's songs will get heard. And the thing I'm most excited about is in the second set, one of my favorite things to do as a writer is to write what I call gift songs. And I've written many, many songs for people, for individuals or people that I find interesting and share them with them. And one of our Ozark heroes is a gentleman named Kent Bonner. And they call him the John Muir of the Ozarks. And he is the finest naturalist in the state. He lives way out in the woods with 20 dogs in a little place, and he draws pictures of everything that is in nature. And then at night, by candlelight, because he has no electricity, with a feather quill, he draws these images exquisitely into the margins of books. And I wrote a song about him and got to go to Jasper and sing it for him last week. I wanted to get his blessing before I did it up on the mountain. But now I found out that he and a friend are going to come to the concert.
Wow.
And he's going to bring some of his books, of his drawings. And to me, that's worth the whole night to me, to get to unveil his song in front of the whole audience.
With him there.
With him there.
He's the subject of the documentary.
The Naturalist, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Brilliant. Brilliant human being.
Would you mind playing?
I will. I would love to. I'd be honored.
And the name of that song about Kent is called The Naturalist, right?
No, the song I wrote is, I just call it Ode to Kent Bonner.
Oh, okay.
Ode to Kent Bonner.
What are you going to sing for us here?
I'm going to sing a song called Golden, and it's about my childhood. And I grew up in Buffalo, New York when I was little, and my daddy was a beginning sign painter, and so we didn't have a whole lot. He would paint no parking signs and stuff as he was trying to learn that skill. And so we lived, you know, pretty on the poor side. But, of course, as a child, I never knew that. And that's what this is. Yeah. Running round the corner to Peroni's store with a nickel in my fist. Love the colored jawbreakers. Red ones were the best. Long black ropes of licorice, salty pretzel sticks, chocolate coins wrapped in foil and ruby red wax lips. And Mrs. Peroni rolled her stockings down, and she always smelled of garlic. Let my brother sit in the window and read her Marvel comics. When my sack had 10 cents worth, she'd throw in a couple of mints. Never knew that we were poor, I thought we were rich. On the outside, life was trusted tin, but on the inside, life was golden. Mama took in ironing white shirts for a doctor. His daughter's name was Gabrielle. I wanted to be like her. But I bet her mama never toasted her a slice of Hivacunda, an old Finnish family recipe I was rather fond of. But I was surprised when I realized what Hivacunda was. Crusty day old hot dog buns buttered up with love. And mama babysat a boy named Pete. I think he was Spanish. We loved him like a brother, though he did not speak no English. On the outside, life was rusted tin, but on the inside, life was golden. Golden as the precious coins in a pirate's chest. Golden as the trinkets in a bowerbird's nest. Golden as the morning sun shining across the land. You can't measure these treasures or hold them in your hand. On the outside, life was rusted tin, but on the inside, life was golden. Well, Daddy had a shop where he painted signs in downtown Buffalo. He always smelled of turpentine. Times he let me go up the ladder to the scaffold high. Behind him I would climb. I'd fill in all the letters when he got them outlined. Then we'd go for coffee and donuts, and on the napkins he would sketch drawings for the waitresses. We'd leave them there for tips. And Daddy always held on to my hand when we walked out the door. I always thought that we were rich, never knew we were poor. On the outside, life was rusted tin, but on the inside.